Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. As I was driving down here this morning, I noticed there's some road work on the interstate, and we've all seen those orange barrels and cones, and really they serve a purpose. And the purpose is either to keep you off of what they're working on or to keep you away from those workers that are working. And this morning, I want you to think about that stone, that barrier that was in front of the tomb of Jesus. I want you to think of that rock, that same stone that was removed, that was rolled away a little bit later. And I hope to talk about and for you to understand the symbolism of what that stone really means. So let's read together this morning, Matthew chapter 27, and we'll begin reading in the 57th verse. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus, and he went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. And then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which had a cut in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the entrance of that tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. And the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, remember how that impostor," talking about Jesus, "while he was still alive, said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud would be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Can you picture that? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was like snow. And the fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay." We notice that this large stone was rolled against the tomb. And it was customary to roll these big stones against the tombs. The stones were generally too big to be moved by just a few men, so they used levers to move these giant stones. Some have estimated that these stones weigh from anywhere from 1.5 to 2 tons, about the size of a mid-sized car. And a Roman guard unit, as it said, post a guard, usually consisted of at least 4 soldiers who were stationed at the tomb, and the Roman guards were strictly disciplined men, fighting men. They had very high standards, and failure from these men often required death by humiliation and death by torture. So if these guards were to mess up, then their punishment was generally death. And then the Roman seal, the Bible said, was affixed to the stone to secure the stone. And that seal stood for the power and authority of the Roman government. And breaking that seal, breaking that very seal, meant automatic execution by crucifixion upside down. Anyone trying to move that stone from the tomb's entrance would have broken that seal and therefore would have incurred the wrath of the law of the Roman emperor. And on resurrection morning, the first thing that impressed the people who approached the tomb was that that large stone was moved. And certainly the entire guard unit would not have fallen asleep with torture being their reward. But even if the guards had fallen asleep, could there have been thieves that sneaked by the guards and moved that massive stone without waking them up. My other question would be, is for some reason they fell asleep and the stone was moved, why didn't they move it back? Just for their own sake. We'll get to that in a minute. Joseph rolling the stone in front of that tomb, as you picture that, Joseph and his men rolling that stone in front of Jesus' tomb. Here's what it reminds me of when I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking that I also roll stones into a place to block my own fellowship with God. I have stones in my life that block my fellowship with God. In verse 27:59, the Bible says, Joseph took the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen, and he placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And he rolled this big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and he went away. Joseph of Arimathea, he rolled the stone in front of the grave. And when you roll a stone in front of the grave, it's for that purpose we talked about during prayer time. It's either to keep somebody out or keep what's inside from coming out. So there was only one purpose. Picture that in your mind. Here is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And humanity is putting Emmanuel in this tomb and rolling a stone in front of the Christ inside of the tomb and all of humanity. We're trying to block him out. The one we should be trying to get closer to, we tend to block out. The one we should be striving to emulate, we try to block from our vision. We remove him from ourselves. We're good at putting stones in front of ourselves, between ourselves and God. Remember Adam and Eve, they put the stone of sin between themselves and God. And so they went and hid when they heard the voice of God. What stone maybe have you put between yourself and your relationship with God? Maybe you have the stone of doubt. Maybe you have the stone of apprehension. Maybe you have the stone of never really being able to surrender all there is to surrender to God. Maybe your stone is just your attitude. What is your stone? And then notice in verse 62, you see the actions of the high priest and the Pharisees. And the actions of the high priest and the Pharisees, they simply remind me that there are people in my life who do not want a relationship with God. There are people in your life who do not want a relationship with God. And listen, they don't want you to have one either. The high priest and the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with Jesus. But they wanted more than that. They didn't want anyone else to have anything to do with a relationship with Jesus. When I tell someone to cool it down because you're getting too spiritual, then I'm doing the same thing the Pharisees did. When I tell someone, hey, let's miss this church, let's go fishing, then I'm doing the same thing that the Pharisees did. I'm interfering with your relationship with God Almighty. It may just simply be my attitude or my decision. It may simply be a lack of encouragement. Am I carrying the torch for the priest and the Pharisees? Or am I carrying the torch for the Lord? In verse 65, you move to Pilate and Pilate's response to the priest and the Pharisees, it reminds me that people falsely think they can make things secure in their own doing. The priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate to make this tomb secure, thinking he can make things perfect. He can make them secure. So he seals it. And he stations the guard unit around this tomb, thinking that will secure the tomb. But Easter Sunday reminds all of us that nothing is secure except with the Lord. That tomb was not secure. I still trust in my savings account and my monthly check to make things secure. I still trust in Karen's intelligence to make things secure. I still trust in all of these worldly things. There are some this morning who have not placed their dependence on God. Maybe you've walked down the aisle. Maybe you've prayed the prayer. Maybe you've said and done all the things that you have to do, but you've not placed your full trust in Him because you're trying to make it secure on your own. And Easter should remind you that He is alive. He did exactly what He said He would do. So what excuse would you have not to be secure in Him? And then we get to chapter 28 and we see the fifth and sixth verse of chapter 28. And verse 5 says, "But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for He has risen, as He said.'" You see, I think sometimes you and I, we keep those stones in place in our life because we're afraid what we will discover if we roll them out of the way. We're afraid of what we might see if we roll them out of the way. You see, for the longest time, I kept that stone in place that kept me from entering the ministry because I was afraid of what was behind that stone. Some of you have stones in your life that you're afraid to move because you're afraid of what might be behind those. I'll be honest, I was afraid where it might bring me in the ministry if I remove that stone. And some of you this morning are simply afraid to move that stone because of the unknown, because you don't know. We're afraid to lift that stone out of the way because what it might cause, it may cause us to fully, it may call us to wholesomely worship who we should be worshiping. We are afraid to move that stone because it causes doubt in my own belief. It is not me making it secure anymore. We're afraid to move that stone in our life that would cause me to walk the aisle. We're afraid to move that stone because it might cause me to follow the Lord in baptism. We're afraid to move that stone because it may take a may allow us to stand up and be a leadership position, to teach a class, to do something that we think is completely out of our comfort zone. We're afraid of losing our security within ourselves and our security with our friends and our security within our time and our money. And those very stones are the things that may be separating you from fully surrendering to the will of an Almighty God. Sometimes it is we keep these stones in place because of our disbelief. Did you know that there are people in church that have disbelief? They really don't have faith? Sure there are. They're everywhere. I think nothing will happen. Even if I remove my stone, so why bother? How many times have we not prayed as we should because we thought to ourselves, nothing's going to happen anyway? It won't matter. And if that is your attitude, I have news for you. You're exactly right. Nothing will happen. How many times have we felt the tug at our heart to come to the altar, the tug at our heart to talk to God, the tug at our heart to raise our hand in worship, to say amen, to give our lives to a life full of serving others, to give our lives to Jesus, and we didn't because nothing will happen or change even if I did. Friend, when you enter with expectations from God Almighty, you should know, especially this morning, He will do exactly what He said He will do. He will live upon every promise. He will stand upon every promise that He's ever made. He will deliver you from any stone in your life. Listen, if He will remove the stone in front of the tomb of Jesus that allowed Jesus to survive, to rise from the dead, He will remove the stone in front of you. He will remove it. So God's actions this morning assure me that God is in the stone-moving business. That's what Easter Sunday's all about, is that God's in the stone moving business. That is who He is. Notice verse 1 and 2. After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and He rolled back the stone, and He sat upon it. The God who moved that stone on Easter morning, He will, He still can and will move the very stone that's in your life. It's the same God. It's the same promise. Identify the stone in your life that God needs to move, and God will move it. Is there any significance to the ladies finding the tomb? And I think, yes, there is. There's a big significance. Because in the era of biblical times, women could not even testify in court. Women were not held trustworthy. Nobody believed women. Their testimony was not trusted. The apostles could have known that the report were coming from women would not sit well with the audience. So if they were making this story up, they would not have asked women to be the storytellers. If the disciples were going to write a story, it surely wouldn't have been with women reporting to the tomb that was empty. The two Marys lived in a village of Bethany, which was about a mile or so east of Jerusalem. And they would have had to leave, as stated in John 20, while it was yet dark, in order to arrive at sunrise, as it says they did in Mark 16. They would have had to leave early in the morning. And the same very thing applies to Luke's account, which states that they left very early in the morning, and the women probably wouldn't even have gone if they would have known a guard had been set at the tomb. They probably wouldn't have even attempted to go in the first place if they had known the tomb had been sealed and there was a group of guards that were set there. So what did God do? He removed the guards. That's pretty cool. God removed the guards. And then the Bible says this came as earthquake. But the guards, you understand, could not flee just because of an earthquake, because of the repercussions. They could not flee just because the earth shook. But it was an angel of Jehovah who really terrified them. But they still couldn't leave, because then they would be accused of running from a ghost. So they couldn't leave. They would have been executed for being a coward had they left at this point. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2 states that the angel of Jehovah, descending out of heaven, approaching the tomb, rolls the stone away. Now the way I interpret that, it says it rolls it away from the tomb. It doesn't say just away from the opening. It says it rolls it away from the tomb. So as I'm doing my research, I'm thinking and I'm asking my Greek college student all of these translations, because I'm trying to figure out, where did the stone go? Where did they move it? It's away from the tomb. Where did God move the stone? Because it doesn't say away from the opening, it says away from the tomb. John chapter 20 and verse 1 in the Greek says that the stone was lifted up and out of place, and then the angel sat upon it. It says it was lifted out of its place at the part of the tomb. And Mark chapter 16 and verse 4 in the Greek says that the stone was rolled up backwards, overturned. Somewhere up and over the tomb. That is, the angel had lifted the stone, which had weighed as much of a car, and rolled it back up over the tomb and sat upon it. Now picture that in your mind. Now these guards are sitting there. Like I said, if the stone had been rolled, why didn't they roll it back? Well, if it were on top, now what are they going to do? They couldn't do anything. And so now you got this stone sitting on top of the grave, and the angel sitting up there snickering, giving you the ha ha ha. What are you going to do now? And so because it weighed so much, the guards now were ill-equipped to get the stone down, to seal the entrance, as they would have done, I think, if the stone had simply been rolled aside. And this fact gave them the perfect excuse to make themselves scarce, to get out of there. Faced with this awesome power by which the great stone was handled like a toy, they fled the scene and they went and told the priest. Now listen, folks. If Jesus can have that stone removed from the grave, and that stone was guarded, and that stone was sealed, why would we consider Him being unable to move the very stones in our life? Why would we not consider Him to be more than able to remove the insecurity in our lives? And many of these stones block our very fellowship with God. And they cause fear in our life and insecurity in our life and unbelief. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is in the stone moving business. Will you let Him move the stone in your life? Will you let Him move the very thing that's blocking the relationship with Him in your life, to move it out of your life? Will you allow Him to remove that stone of insecurity, or allow Him to remove that stone of faithlessness this morning? I assure you, the stone in your life is not too large. The stone in your life is not more than He can handle, for it is that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a Savior that walks and talks in this world today. And I would ask Him, are you serving Him? Easter would be a great day to start, to turn your life to Him, to begin a ministry, to stand up and say, God, move the stone that is blocking my fellowship with me and You. Remove it from my life. Remove my insecurity. Remove my faithfulness. Remove those things from my life. What a day for that to happen today. That there is victory in that stone. The stone the angel moved, and the stones that are being removed in your life, there is victory there. The Bible says, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just like He said He would. Victory in that stone. Shouldn't that be the victory battle cry for Christians? V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. That's our victory battle cry. That Jesus is not here anymore. He has risen from the grave. And today is that resurrection morning. It is when that stone has been removed. It is the day that the unsaved believe in Jesus Christ. It is the day that they ask Him to be the Lord in their life. It is the day for the Christian to remove that stone that's been blocking their fellowship with God. It is the day. It is today. It is Resurrection Sunday. It is the day of the risen Savior. And it is that day that we as Christians remove those things. It is that day that someone here doesn't know Christ. It is that today that that stone's removed and Christ becomes the Lord of their life. It is today. It is today that you remove that stone and you walk down the aisle to follow in baptism. It is today that you remove that stone and you walk across the aisle and follow someone that has a heavy heart with you. It is today that you remove that stone of insecurity. It is today that you stop relying on the paycheck. It is today that you remove all of that in your life. All of those stones. Today is that resurrection morning. Today is the day that Jesus can become the very Lord of your life. Would you allow Him to do that? In closing, let me say this. Whether that stone was to the side, whether that stone was rolled down a hill, or whether that stone set up on top of the tomb, it don't matter. What does matter is Jesus wasn't in it. What does matter is Jesus is risen from the grave. And because He has, we do. We do what? We do have eternal life. Because He's risen, we have eternal life. So if maybe today that your insecurity is death itself, you can put that to rest today. You can remove that stone from your very life. Father God, thank You this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. Father, I know there are some here this morning maybe that's never trusted in Jesus. I'm aware of some this morning that may have trusted in Him. And Father, let us be reminded that Easter fulfills the promise that Jesus Christ is coming back for His children. Father, may we stand on that promise of hope that You will return. And Father, may we as Christians answer the question this morning, are we ready for that return? And Father, if we're here this morning and there's a shadow of a doubt, Father, may we get right before we leave this place. Father, thank You for saving us. Thank You for loving us. Father, we pray for those that maybe don't know who You are. Maybe they've done the ritualistic things, but they've never given their life to You. Father, this very day, Father, would they send their eyes to You and confess that they're a sinner? Would they believe that You died for them and rose again? Would they ask You to come into their life? And Father, if You do that, I believe they're saved. So that you too may know that the day of Your coming, and you would say, thank You, Lord, for saving me. If you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit has tugged at your heart for whatever reason, to join this church, to be baptized, to rededicate your life, to surrender to the ministry, to get that Christian stone out of your life, then I encourage you to come down this morning so that we may celebrate with you. Maybe it is that He's saved you this morning. I pray that you would let your intentions be known, that you would respond to what He has asked you to do. Thank You, Jesus, in advance for what You will and continue to do in our lives. Thank You, Jesus, for the promises, the foundation of eternal life. Thank You, Jesus, for as Karen taught this morning, to the opportunity to walk upon the streets of gold, to walk in that never, never land, Father, for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. It's in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?